Hello, Warwick. Hello, listeners.
Hello, Coxie.
Oh, like, did you like my inflection?
I'm excited for parts of this episode.
I'm very excited for this episode, and I am not excited for my joke. I want to preface this joke by letting you all know this is very much for your children. This is.
Oh, righto. It's yep. Funny already.
Your daughter is going to love this one.
Go.
What do you call a cow that mows the lawn?
Oh, no. I don't.
A lawn mower.
Oh, my gosh. G'day, I'm Woz.
And I'm Nick, sometimes Coxie, mostly Nick.
This is the Tradies in Business podcast, and we're here to share a bunch of tips, ideas, tactics that you can put in place to get change happening in your trade business right now.
If you're really lucky, we're going to entertain you with a few mum jokes, and more importantly, a bunch of fantastic guests that will educate you in all things you need to know about trade business, but we do promise to do it with a whole bunch of fun along the way.
I'm a self-confessed idiot, so strap yourself in and enjoy another episode. I think even my 12-year-old is going to roll her eyes and groan at that one.
Love it. She'll love it. It's fantastic.
Because we have cows at my place, and every time I shift them to a different paddock, I say to her, hey, let's go and move the cows. And she just goes, oh, Dad.
And can you remind me, one of them's called, well, one of the old cows that you've already eaten is
the cow formerly known as.
And every time I go near the Beefy's bakery,
oh.
I take another photo to send to your daughter.
Yes, Beefy. Anyway, today's guest is not Beefy.
No.
Today's guest is questioning his life choices and the fact that he said yes to being interviewed on the Tradies in Business podcast. But he goes by the name of Ben Sims. He has guitars, caps, and lots of green grass. Ben, welcome to the podcast, mate.
Yes, well, I appreciate it, mate. Jeez, what an intro. What a legend.
That's the best one yet, I'm sure, Ben.
Oh, that was the best joke I've heard in a couple of years, to be honest.
Ben,
that was disgraceful.
hang on, let me make the sound. What's that of Ben sucking up? All right.
Yep.
They're pretty crap. I'm known for my terrible jokes, Ben. Well,
you gave it a go.
Thank
part
you.
Of the appreciate part it. Of the trademark. All right, dude. So you're here to talk about some interesting stuff, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to turn this into a business lesson. So that's my challenge I'm throwing down for today's episode. But Ben, you're from Lawn Tips, and I'm pretty sure our listeners are dying to find out a bit more about Ben Sims, the man, the myth, the legend.
Nice. So I am, what do I say? It's a bit of an odd one, isn't it? I'm a YouTuber, but I do online sales and marketing and that as well. But I'm a greenkeeper, qualified greenkeeper. I've been for 12 years, 13 years now. Was in the business for about 8 years, working on a golf course, became a superintendent. And then I just started doing videos on the side for fun, and it turned into a business venture. After about 2.5 years in, I went full-time selling product and making videos online. That's my gig, talking about grass.
Nice. I can see why it was so successful.
Yeah. It depends what grass we're talking about.
How on earth does someone become a greenkeeper? I'm fascinated by the concept.
So it's pretty straightforward. You get a TAFE and do a Cert 3 in horticulture, and you just do your trade at a golf course or a bowling green, or the council does it. You can do it when you're doing parks and gardens. There's many ways to get into greenkeeping, but it's a pretty dying trade, I guess. It's getting quite
drought.
Yeah, you can say that. No, there's just not people interested. Because of the drought. Just
cracking myself up. Yep.
But people just aren't just interested, and the pay is not amazing, depending on where you come from too, because it is such a... Because people think about greenkeeping like you just mow grass all day. You know what I mean? That's what it looks like from the outset. So, yeah, it's a bit of a dying industry, but I love it. Give it a hope. I did.
The greenkeeper on Crackerjack really loved his profession too.
It's a good trade to be into, but it's good fun. There's some loose cannons out there, but...
I bet.
There is some loose cannons, but no, it's good. It's awesome. Good people.
Lots of fertilizer sniffing.
This episode is going to bounce around like.
I'm ready.
I hope you are, Ben.
It's before 12 noon. I don't know if you really are ready, mate.
No, it's true.
Ben, I didn't know it was a profession. If I'd be really honest, clearly on big golf courses, professional courses, perhaps I'd thought about the fact somebody needed to be really good at what they were doing to be able to create the outcomes that they were. But I hadn't really thought about things like bowls club. So my dad's oldish. Sorry, Dad, if you're listening, he plays bowls several times a week. They have a greenkeeper, and I don't know, I just didn't think about it as a profession. I had made an assumption that somebody from the bowls club kind of rolled into that position, pardon the pun, at some point in time. And that's how somebody became responsible for taking care of the grass. But clearly not. It's actually something we can do an apprenticeship for.
Yeah, 100%. It's quite in-depth. And there's even, you even get a university for it and do your turf science degree. It's quite, it's very in-depth, actually. There's some very smart and nerdy people out there that are in the high end of the turf industry that get paid millions to do what they do. Because I've got lots of university books. Not much of a university thing over in Australia. There is turf science here and there, but it's more in the States. Because you think about places like the big football clubs over in Europe and then all those places, they need people that know what they're doing to look after the grass properly. Otherwise, I mean, you're not just mowing it. You're putting fertilizer out all the time. You got to have qualifications to know what chemicals work and how to use it properly. So it's a lot about irrigation, everything. Like, there's a lot more to it than you think, but it is glorified grass mowing. Yeah.
Paid lawn porn.
Yeah. That's it.
Righto. So, mate, 12 years doing that. How did you actually choose that, though, as a career path? You know, was there a reason you wanted to be outside cutting grass or?
I wasn't even into it. It was just came up at the time. My brother was working at the golf course, actually, and I was working at a phone shop selling phones. And then I was like, I've got to get out of here. So I just took an apprenticeship and loved it from there. Yeah, I used to just get a whip step around, whip step my whole backyard. I used to hate mowing grass.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I used to hate it. And then I just started doing it and just loved it. So stuck at it.
Yeah, but pushing an old Victor around your backyard is a bit different to riding around on a $75,000 bloody green cutter.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how much they cost, honestly, if not more. And when the grass looks nice, it's a bit different too to like a dust bowl in your backyard.
Yeah.
With mum and dad screaming at you to hurry up and cut the grass.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, right. We've all been in that position. I've had kids throw tantrums over having to mow the lawn. It's not fun. What is it about it that you enjoyed in the beginning, Ben? Because obviously it's been a journey for you to get where you are now, and you're doing something different now than you were doing then. But in the beginning, what really cemented it as an ideal for a career for you?
I think when you get down to it, when you're getting on golf courses and fine cut turf, like, it's the amount of input and effort you have to put into it to get results is pretty high. And when you see those results in turn after putting that effort in, like, I just loved seeing what I did and seeing what the outcomes were. Because when you get down to grass, you're cutting it like 2 millimeters. Like, it's ridiculous stuff. Like, it's very niche and it's very particular, but I think that's what I loved about it, the fine tuning part of it, not cutting the 100 mil lawn twice a week. You know what I mean? It's more the fine cut turf is what got me into it.
Fascinating. So how did you go from where you were then to where you are now? Because that's quite a transition in itself.
Yeah. So in 2017, I started a blog. Who knows why? I'm on the internet. I used to get so excited about grass, which sounds ridiculous. I used to talk about it so much and no one was interested. No one cared.
Way cooler than me getting excited about spreadsheets, Ben. Yeah. I just have to say, like, I can take the piss all morning, but I love a good spreadsheet. And I love that you love grass because I reckon that's way cooler.
Thanks for making me feel good about myself.
I'm sure you don't need validation from me, mate.
It went from that. And then, so I started a blog. I got a bit over writing articles, not my cup of tea. So I started shooting YouTube videos. And it honestly went from there. I thought maybe if I get a free bag of fertilizer out of this, it might be worth my time. And then, Like, I get whatever I want now. It's ridiculous. Like, I got John Deere sponsorships and a lot of things that are in place, which are awesome. But yeah, no, that's where it went. I went full time by 2019. By October, I was full time doing YouTube videos and selling products online. So, two years and 6 months, I think it was, until I went full time from starting my first video.
I'm consistently blown away by the opportunities available to us in this online world and what we can do with our bits of knowledge and how we can create businesses and ideals out of this. And I probably really just want to know from you, Ben, I'm about to move to property. I haven't lived on property for 10 years. I really would like a zero turn John Deere sexy thing with a cup holder that I can have
don't
fun
pay
on.
For green.
Have I just got a photo? What's wrong with John Deere? Ben's not allowed to say any different.
No, he's sponsored. He's only going to give you one angle, Coxie.
No, that's the thing.
My lawn, and I'm good to go. Or how does this work?
How big's the property?
It's an acre.
Yeah, okay, see, that ain't anything too big for an acre. You get away with a nice little zero turn.
Good. See, now it's so
the inches, mate. It's all about the inches, Ben.
Oh, 42 inches, mate.
42 inches.
The big boy.
I'm not man enough for a 42-inch zero turn.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm going to get nowhere in this episode today. You boys are just going to go with all your endurance.
No, I think it's just me. Ben, how was COVID for your online business? I want to ask a proper question.
It was awesome. It was so good. It was so good. I think I went full-time, and then a couple of months later, COVID hit. Mm-hmm. I think I doubled my sales in the first year, doubled the sales the next year, because people stuck at home. Yeah. So people were looking at their grass in their backyard, so it boosted my business like crazy. So I chose a good time to quit my job and decide to do this, which is why we bought it. Because I quit my job and I was still living in town on 600 square meters. And then obviously COVID helped us put a deposit towards property out of town. So yeah, awesome. It was really, really good. I mean, it was not good, but it was good for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's common in the trades.
Yeah.
Mm. 100%.
Ben, what I was trying to say before Warwick took us off in another direction was it's not as simple as writing some articles or stop at Warwick or shooting some videos. There's quite an art to doing what you started doing and then to create a business out of it. So my assumption is you started with some knowledge, some sharing of that knowledge, some teaching of that knowledge, and then it grew into an opportunity for them to add products to it. So it's not as easy as I tried very flippantly to make it sound. Can you talk us through a bit about that journey and how it went from an article to creating something that people wanted to consume and what happened from there?
Yep. So I think it was all about entertainment to start with. Entertainment, which is what caught people on board with it, because if you're just sitting there talking about grass and how to fix it, like, yeah, people will watch it for a second, but no one will engage with it for an extended period of time. So it was a lot of humor in there, a bit of like tried to make my editing interesting with good music and good cuts and that. I learned from the get-go how to edit, but I've always loved the technology, so it wasn't too much for me to learn how to edit and that kind of thing. But it's more entertainment. You have to look at it in that sense, but also provide some value to the people as well with the knowledge base that I had. And I mean, if I didn't have the knowledge I have, like obviously it probably wouldn't have worked. Like, you need to know what you're talking about because people see straight through it. But yeah, it was like that. It was just I consistently put videos out every week. Like, I did once a week, maybe twice a week if I got excited. And then, yeah, it just grew from there.
And are you still putting out content that frequently?
One to two times a week, yep.
Wow.
Yep. And I plan to do more in the next year, yep.
How did the opportunity then come for you to add some product to what you're doing for sale? Because it's not an easy thing to create in the background.
So since I worked in the golf course, we had sales reps always popping around and selling products to us. So I just asked the question, would it be possible for me to sell some of your product? Because I'm getting so many questions about it. And they said, yeah, we'll give you a go, an opportunity. And then as soon as I started doing that, and first off, I used to just talk about it on videos and I'd just do it all manually with invoices and everything. And then I got to a point where I was like, this is hectic. So I started a website, automated it, and then, I've never looked back.
That's just mind-blowing, isn't it?
Ben, what are some of your stats, mate? YouTube followers, best video, all the sort of stuff that people probably judge some of these online businesses by?
Yep. Yep. So at 140,000 at the moment on subscribers.
Nice.
And I think my best video is at 4 million views, possibly. I think overall channel views is about 22 million. Yep, in the last 5 years. And
now that you're on the Tradies and Business Show, I can guarantee that'll go up by about 5 or 6.
Yes. So that's why I joined.
Me, Coxie, and three of our tragic clients that love their lawns way too much.
That is so good.
Those stats are fantastic. And this is my favorite thing about being online. And one of the reasons I was psyched to talk to you was because I love my lawn. And then secondly, I'm really excited that there are lots of opportunities out there for many of our trade business owners that they've never even begun to think about before. Yeah. The online space is incredible for you to be able to generate. I think there was a real myth early on about it being a passive income. They're not passive. They take a lot of work to set these businesses up.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
And they take a lot of work to keep running. It's not easy. It looks easy because you're only seeing the highlight reels on social media and YouTube. There's a lot of work that goes in the background, but it's a different kind of work for tradies. And when you're in the sun all day, every day, and you're fighting the elements and it's raining and snowing in some parts of the country, why not look at other things that you can do with what you've worked so hard to learn? I think this is a great example of what's entirely possible for every single trade out there. Even though I get into a bit of push and shove with some of our licensed trades, yes, but people can't go and do that for themselves. Sure, they can't, but there are lots of things that you're able to teach them that they can do with their maintenance, for example, that could become a really saleable opportunity for you as a business owner and just another way to look at how you do business. Ben, I wonder, you're still a young fella. I can't believe you did that for 12 years. So I'm struggling with this matching up with the 12-year thing. But I know, for example, I've got kids that are tradies, and I've got kids that work in the online space. And as a parent, I'm always really, I can't believe that they can do what they do from behind a desk in the online space. How was it accepted by your family and your extended community when you said, I'm going to give this a go?
I think everyone just thought it was a good little project I was doing now and thought it would actually make me money, I guess. I always had support from the get-go, though, which was pretty rare in that sense, because a lot of people get like, just like, what are you doing, mate? You know what I mean? Like, and I did it when it wasn't the norm as well. Like when I started it, like, I mean, it was, but it wasn't like, it still wasn't a huge thing. And there was not really anyone doing it in the lawn care space and any greenkeepers even thinking about doing something like that. So yeah, but my family and friends were pretty good. I mean, they'd make the odd joke here and there, like, are you a YouTuber, mate? Or you like, and just laugh about it. But I mean, it's good now.
Yeah.
they can see it was worth it. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Ben, I often wonder about any online business, I guess, but particularly where you're relying on views and product sales off the back of your content, ad placement revenue, all those sorts of different income streams that go along with a digital business. And I wonder what the lifespan of something like that is, whereas, you know, a plumber will always be able to do plumbing, or a carpenter will always be able to build houses or decks or something. But I just wonder if there's an end point to some of this stuff before the next thing comes along. You know, what if there's a replacement for Meta, heaven forbid? Do you ever think about that? And do you have like a business plan behind all of this, or is this something that you're just riding the wave while it's there?
I think, I don't think YouTube will probably always be a thing for myself. It might be, who knows, but there's no like solid future in that, I guess. Like, you could do it and then one day YouTube shuts down and you're stuck, which is why I built the online website as a backup, because people are always going to have lawns, you know what I mean? There's always going to be grass, people are always going to have the yard, they're always going to have an opportunity to look at it. Like like hardware stores and Bunnings will be going for years and years to come. So I'm like in that region where I sell the fertilizers and all that kind of thing to sort of be a little bit better than Bunnings, a little bit more expensive and more for the guys that into that niche kind of thing. And lawn care is crazy. It has grown in the last 5 years, like as in product sales wise, like 1,000%. Like, it's crazy the amount of people. You can look at the traffic on Google on the searching about lawns and all your keywords and stuff. And it's just, it's getting bigger and bigger. I think it might slow down. depending on what happens in the economy and obviously in society, but yeah. I don't think it'll ever die. I don't think it'll ever die. But yeah, that's why I set up the online business, so I future-proofed myself for the next however many years.
Love it, mate. Love it. And I love how you're tying it back to not a staple or an essential service, but it's pretty close. Like, humans are vain. We run on what other people think of us. So, you know, fashion, houses, cars, lawns, makeup. Like, they're all things that relate to our view of ourselves and, you know, looking good for the rest of the world. Exactly. So it's sort of right up there with groceries and breathing, I think, for most people. So I love how you've tied a digital business back to something physical in the product space.
Yep.
Can we talk about life courses?
Yep, we can.
Because I read here that you made your own for yourself.
Not that I play it.
Like, you haven't played time.
I haven't played it in ages. I don't know. I work on it so much that I probably have the time to, but I just don't do it. That's the honest thing. But we've got 12 acres here on the property. And I've built a proper USGA spec golf green. So I think it's cost me so far to build the green about $70,000 to build it with irrigation and everything, and like running, like putting a bore in for water sources. But I mean, it's proper spec. So it's got like 100 meters of drainage under it, 100 ton of gravel, 300 ton of sand. And obviously I've oversowed it and shaped it. And yeah, so it was a big project, but loved it. It's good fun.
That is the coolest thing. I am so jealous of your backyard.
Yeah, that's fun. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I think that'd be so cool. So who plays it if you don't play it? No one.
No one. My kids should
do something. Surely there's a thing.
I'm thinking about doing that in the future. Thinking about hosting events, even possibly having, because it's quite picturesque here, like a little nice tree, especially in autumn.
Yeah.
Quite a beautiful property. So we might do the shed up and have like a little bit of a wedding venue, or who knows? We'll see what happens. Golf weddings. Yeah. Well, there's a market for it. Especially, we've got an Airbnb and we had someone who's a member at the lakes somewhere in Sydney anyway, one of the golf courses there, and like, rich people, like they're all doctors, retired doctors and stuff. And he said, mate, all my like doctor friends and everything would come here and pay a squillion just to rent it out and stay here. And you know what I mean? So there's another business in that itself. But I mean, I want to have things finished before I think about that. But
Yeah.
Done's better than perfect, Ben.
That's true.
Ask any wanker business coach, he'll tell you.
Oh, I'll start tomorrow then.
There you go. There's accountability started now, mate. So I got another ridiculous question. Coxie often talks about some of her self-care is because she loves her lawn, but part of her self-care is to get out of her office and go and stand in the sun, take off her shoes and get her toes in the grass. For you, given that you spend so much time growing, cutting, manicuring grass, do you like to get your toes in the sand or the prickles or something? Like, does it just lose its appeal for you to stand in the grass?
That's the dumbest question I've ever heard, mate.
Well, it's been nice having you on the show anyway, Ben.
Mate, have a good one.
Yeah.
God, I didn't know how to answer that.
You don't have to. It was stupid. Just absolutely stupid. I'm three coffees deep and it's not even 12 o'clock.
Jealous.
Yeah. I have a question about, I guess, the business aspect of an online business. So, I mean, we crow a lot here on the show about business plans and setting goals and tracking your data and measuring your marketing and where people are coming from. Do you do all that sort of stuff? Like, do you run it as a big business, I guess, or is it just kind of like, yeah, there's money in the bank account and that's kind of cool?
Yeah, no, I definitely have a look at it, and I do quite a bit of marketing. Obviously like emails and all that kind of jazz. But I mean, my YouTube channel is a huge side of the marketing as well, and very intentional in that sense on how I market on my YouTube channel. I'm not super in people's faces with it, which is why I think it's a win-win in my situation, because people love that authenticity and not the sales in your face. But yeah, I look at the data. I look at where traffic's coming from on the website. I have goals for increasing sales every year and always tracking to to improve things and always looking at different ways to market. I love doing that. I probably spend about maybe 10 hours a week just playing around with that kind of stuff. So yeah, otherwise you're just going to be stuck in a rut and not going to be getting anywhere, I guess. And maybe expanding the business.
Love that. So the other thing I wanted to talk to you about or get you to share with our listeners is around content. Now, we talk again a lot about content creation, and our tradies are generally, and this is a generalization, very resistant to recording video and then sharing it online with their potential followers or their clients. They don't want to be in front of the camera themselves. They don't know what to shoot. They overthink it. They freeze up. They think it's got to be, you know, a $3,000 brand story or something if they're going to share it online. Have you got some, real world feedback? Like, you're doing videos about lawn tips, so they're how to's, I guess, and, you know, product demos and all that sort of stuff. But in terms of a trade business owner going out there and recording content, they're not necessarily going to be a YouTuber getting paid from it. Mm. Any suggestions or do's and don'ts or anything that you can share with them?
Yeah, it's tricky because when I first did it, I was quite hesitant in the fact that if other greenkeepers are watching, they might be judging what I'm doing. Mm. And I was very, very cautious of that. But it's funny, the feedback from the industry is just positive, which is very odd. Like, I always thought it'd be very negative because I was out there talking about the trade secrets, whatever you want to call it. But I mean, no one cares, honestly. Like, if you got it, like, if people are getting funny about it, getting jealous, like, they need to have a quick look at themselves and figure out that people are going to find these things out anyway. But I mean, if people want to do it, there's obviously, you've got to follow rules and regulations and make sure you stick to OH&S, because I've had a lawsuit or two chucked at me from doing things a little bit incorrectly in the past. So you've got to be a step very lightly and make sure you're doing things by the book. But enjoy the process when you do it. And I mean, we all learn, and you just got to be open and honest and let people know we make mistakes when you do things. And yeah, I think enjoy it. But I think, I always thought that people would judge me hard in the industry, but it's been the complete opposite, which is interesting.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I think that's pretty common in the trades as well. We feel like it's a very insular profession and nobody talks about what they're doing or what they're finding challenging or sharing any of their knowledge, quite frankly, because they might copy me or they might judge me for what I'm doing. And in actual fact, what we see in our community time and time again is the opposite is completely true. People can be very supportive if they're allowed the time and the space to be. And I think in your instance, Ben, you're growing awareness for their profession. That's a fantastic thing for everybody within your community to be enjoying. Ben, I wanted to ask, it sounds like there's a lot of work to be done on what you're doing in the background with your marketing, the YouTube stuff, filling the orders. Are you doing it all yourself, or have you built yourself a team?
No, myself currently. So I do everything. So it's some big days and some not so big days. This time of year slows down because sales slow down because it's getting to the cooler months. So I've got to figure out something to do this time of year. But no, it is. It's a full-time gig, and like, it's more than a full-time gig. But I've set it up pretty well now. Like, most of my orders and website is automated now. Yep. And that's a big thing I had to do as soon as I moved out to the property. So I had time to shoot videos and get everything tidied up outside. So I used to manually go in and just enter all the orders in through an email to the basically the warehouse that I was getting things shipped out of. But I don't pack anything here. It's all done. It's like drop shipping, stored up, but it's a little bit more personalized.
Yep.
In that sense, but it's all automated. So someone makes an order, packing slip prints in the warehouse, they pack it, goes out. All I have to do is chase up if something gets damaged, and that's about it. So there's not a lot of time involved in that. A little bit in like maintenance on the website, but it's more trying to improve is where the time's spent. And then obviously shooting videos, editing videos, and just sorting out problems that run into place. But I am employing someone come end of August. Mm-hmm. I'll have someone to help me outside a bit because I just keep falling behind, and they'll come and help build. We'll probably start a podcast as well about grass and just another qualified greenkeeper too, so we'll start that and we'll see where it goes. But I'd love to get another personality onto the YouTube channel just to have a bit of banter on there and muck around and get people, you know, relating a bit more to me playing off with someone else as well. That sounds bad. you know what I mean? Like, playing off in the grass.
Green in the grass. I hear there's a podcast co-host getting around who has an amazing repertoire of jokes. Pretty sure she's available for side gigs, mate.
Oh, wait. Yeah, didn't think about that.
Look, I can come up with jokes all day long if you give me enough time just before you press start. I'll give you all my tips, Ben. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll Nick's appreciate it.
Tips. There's a podcast here for you, Coxie.
YouTube channel.
Yeah.
How to find jokes in 30 seconds or less.
It's a good point though, a good thread is I think a lot of people go, oh, no one would watch that. No one would be interested in watching me pull sheeting off a wall. That's boring as bat droppings. But yeah. I reckon if you could think about it, there'd be a YouTube channel for it or a bunch of videos someone did once. I'm amazed at the stuff that comes up in my feed. Oh, you know, I'm like searching how to replace the spindle pulley on my mower, and then the suggestions are off into the weeds, no pun intended, but it's just weird stuff. It's only like three clicks deep, and next minute you're watching videos of cats flying aeroplanes or something, and just it blows my mind the stuff that the stuff that people will watch, clearly.
Yeah, it's insane. Well, have you seen what's his name, Tim the Lawnmower Man?
Yeah,
millions of views.
That's mind-blowing stuff. I'm still blown away that there are so many yachts just begging for somebody to pay attention to them. That they're as tall as I am. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Phenomenal. It is insane. I could watch that stuff all day, and I could watch the car cleaning. We had a detailer on. He was in Sydney since moved back to New Zealand, and I watch his videos literally every time I'm on social media. I don't know why I find it satisfying, but it's incredible to watch the car get cleaned. It's just funny, like I've watched lawn stuff. It's
far out, Coxie. You lead an exciting life.
Oh, shut up. Should I tell everyone what you're watching? No, I won't.
Because I don't watch anything. Mine's like how to change a mountain bike tire. It's riveting.
Yeah, do you think I'm exciting? Well, really excited that he's
how to iron your shirts so they look good on a podcast. Dear idea. We should actually ask Ben some serious questions if we've got any, Coxie, but I think all I can think of is grass and fertilizer and stuff.
Ben, where to from here? Obviously, there's a podcast in the wings. You've got a business partner or someone else coming in to be working with you. What is next?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm still trying to ponder that because I want to make my winter times busy, if that makes sense, because they're so slow. So I've considered starting a second YouTube channel with other hobbies that I have and building a business from that, or like guitars, for example, or anything along those lines. It might not be in grass, but there'll be something that can still tie in with what I do.
Yep.
But it may be a little bit of a different revenue stream or a different niche that I tap into. But yeah, there's got to be something else I do in the winter time because what time of year for grass?
What's a good time of year for smoking? Meat.
I was like, where are we going? Doing my grass, smoking, yep.
It's your idea.
There's nothing more satisfying for me than having my lawn on point and there's something in the smoker and I can smell it while I'm out in the yard. So maybe there's an avenue there for you, Ben.
Well, I'm not good enough though, smoking meat. Whenever I do pull pork, I always burn the crackle and it wouldn't be a good YouTube channel.
No, it could be like smoked meat fails.
Yeah, fails, yeah. And that might go. Yeah,
everyone loves a fails compilation.
Yeah. Makes everyone else feel better. That's not a bad thing, Ben. There's a whole avenue there for you.
Yeah. New niche. I like it.
You could sell all the products that stop you from, burning your pork. Anyway. So, Ben, if people want to find out more about you, your YouTube channel, and your rise to fame in smoking meat, what's the best place for them to find you, mate?
Lawn Tips, man, is the easiest thing. LawnTips.net, it's my website. Lawn Tips on YouTube, Lawn Tips on Instagram, Facebook. It's pretty straightforward. If you type in Lawn Tips, I think my face pops up somewhere on the internet. Nice. So, yeah.
Now, I'm going to close with a question. If you had 1,000 tradies in a room, what's one piece of advice you would love to leave them with, Ben?
That's a really good question.
Got to make up for this.
One piece of advice. I think just give, if you want to, I think give things a go. Like take a risk. Like what I did was a weird risk and just an idea in the back of my mind. But if you've got an idea, give it a crack. If it fails, it doesn't matter. Just give it a go.
Love it.
Bloody great advice, mate. Thanks, Ben. Thanks for the laugh. Thanks for being patient with us and putting up with our stupid puns. And, mate, well done on changing direction and grabbing hold of an opportunity. I think it's amazing to see people, particularly that go of a hands-on trade and go and do something a little different. I think that takes a lot of guts, and I'm always stoked to see people get results at it, mate. So this is my attempt at being sincere after what has been a fairly ridiculous episode of stupid jokes. yeah, mates, we'll keep an eye out and watch your grass grow.
Cheers, mate. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.